Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're not over-officiating here, and we're not re-officiating these plays. So the thought process was to correct the obvious and clear error.
I'm so sick of hearing clear and obvious.
I think the numbers reflect that.
Dale Arnold.
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else.
Diamond John or Kyle Shanahan.
Rich Keefe.
There's only one goal according to Dale a second ago. Now that's one of many.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Wore out my girlfriend, I'll tell you that.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Steve DiAssi is in the house with us. I just saw Christian down the hall. He's pretty much already stripped down.
Yeah, you're going to have to. It's hot. It's hot in these rhinos.
I mean, we did get DiAssi to shed a layer or two earlier.
I took my jeans off. You just can't see it from there.
So.
I'm hoping to stay a little longer.
What?
What happens.
No?
Huh?
I got my boxers on.
No, you're good.
Oh, good news for all of us.
You're good.
So the gift that keeps on giving from Rich Keefe's perspective is LeBron James, who didn't have anything to say when they were in China when things were hitting the fan.
Right.
Did say something a couple of days ago where he basically suggested that Daryl Morey, educated at Northwestern University in the MIT Sloan School of Management, wasn't well-informed enough to be able to put his tweet out about the whole China situation. That's what he said, by the way. Not me. That's what LeBron said. So he's kind of been asked to clarify things, as you can imagine.
Yeah, how'd he do doing that?
Things sometimes get lost in translation.
He had a hard time with it, I think.
So he was asked yesterday if he understands where the criticism of him comes from.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough situation that we're all in right now. As an association, as us as athletes, owners, GMs, whatever, so forth. I think when the issue comes up, if you feel passionate about it or you feel like it's something you want to talk about, then so be it. I also don't think that every issue should be everybody's problem as well.
So he's the biggest fraud in the world, and he has been for a long time, but this is where it is so clear to everybody that even if somehow, some way you were pro-LeBron and you were a fan of his, there's no way that you can't see what's going on here and say this guy is an absolute fraud, because this was in response to Dale to his little media session where he was saying things along the lines of, yeah, there's freedom of speech, but, you know, not if my money's involved. I'm paraphrasing.
Not everybody deserves it.
That's what he's saying.
My human rights initiative stops at the border.
Stops right there, and because it's going to cost us so much money, Daryl Morey wasn't educated on it. And he also started the conversation by saying, you know, I don't talk about things I'm not educated on. And then he goes on to blast Daryl Morey for a tweet that all it said was fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong.
Right.
Right? It wasn't this whole lengthy thing about China's the worst place in the world. Like, it wasn't like this aggressive, over-the-top rip job of a country. It was fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, and like a little logo.
Which looked like a soccer ball, but it isn't.
I don't know what it is. It's something that they've come up with, and that's nice. But now LeBron is saying, you know, how could you do this? Like, how could you got to realize that this is going to affect people, not just financially.
Oh,
like,
He does mention that.
At least. Like, thanks, LeBron. You do mention financial. It's not just financial, but it's going to affect everybody in so many different ways. And you need to know what you're going to tweet before you tweet it.
Well, again, the gift that keeps on giving. LeBron is just warming up.
There's issues all over the world. I think the best thing we can do is, you know, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you're not... if you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or you don't quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it because it just puts you in a tough position. So
is he talking about himself or is he talking about Daryl Morey still? Does he think that Daryl Morey doesn't know what's going on?
I feel like Daryl does know what's going on. I'm pretty sure Daryl does.
I mean, pro-freedom is a pretty simple thing, Steve. I think you can sort of start with that.
That's what I'm saying. How much research do you have to do?
I'll be honest. I don't know every single detail about what's going on with China and Hong Kong. I feel like I know enough to know that what Daryl Morey said is on the right side of things.
There's no free speech. Boom, there you go. That's all you need to know because now everything else is you know, if they're going to stop you from saying something, they're going to stop you from anything you want. Your freedoms are and that's it's almost like he's trying to put a trying to redefine human rights. Human rights, if you want to say American rights, okay, now that might be, we have our Constitution, we have our rights spelled out, the Bill of Rights, we have all that stuff. But when he starts talking about human rights and injustices and all that stuff, how do you not acknowledge what's going on?
Not to bring up Kaepernick, because that's not what the topic's about, but when Kaepernick wore the Castro shirt and he got ripped on it for it, like, how much different is what LeBron's doing?
Or the pig socks, or
No, but I'm saying, but like communism shirt. And things like that. How much different is what LeBron's doing?
Because I don't know if Kaepernick was doing it for money. That's the difference.
Yeah, but LeBron, if he would just admit it, I might actually...
No, I agree.
I might actually
begrudgingly respect him.
I might a little bit. If he just went up there and goes...
You really wouldn't, but you might.
I would not find a way not to, but just I'm thinking about it. If he just went up there and said, listen, guys, what China is doing is horrible, but what do I care? I don't live there.
Right.
And if they keep sending me money, so be it. You guys would all do the same. If
I'm doing good stuff with my money, and I'm trying to make up for things.
If he kind of let it with that, you know, but he's this this social justice warrior here.
Right.
But then billions of people are going through what they're going through, and he's like, I don't really care.
Yeah, because first off, it gets you Twitter applause here. You become the darling of the media.
No doubt.
And I get it. I understand. It helps your brand here in certain situations, especially with younger people who might be buying more of his stuff than other people. So I get it. But now all of a sudden you have the opportunity to, I don't even want to say expand. I want to say to be consistent in your beliefs, and you take the opposite view of things, and you say, well, you know what? And we know, everybody knows it's about money. That's the crazy. He thinks, for whatever reason, he thinks he's fooling somebody. He's not fooling anybody.
No.
It's about money.
It's so clear.
Well, I have good news for you.
Good.
Because, don't worry, he's got bigger things to concentrate on now.
I plan on being here, being the captain of this team, and trying to figure out a way how we can win a championship. That's my main goal right now. I feel like I talked about it yesterday. I tweeted out a couple of responses to people not understanding, you know, my knowledge of what it came from my brain and for me learning from the situation. I'm talking about it now, and I won't talk about it again.
Oh, no.
Probably for the best, LeBron. I mean, I don't know how anybody can like this guy at all. I've been consistent with this for a long time, but what do you like about it? What do you like about LeBron?
Well, how about
he's a great player.
There's a lot of great players.
I like watching him play. I guess that's it. But the idea that you're as big as LeBron is, you are the industry that is LeBron. How do you not have somebody spelling out what your response to this should be? How do you not? I guarantee you, you've got people that help you with certain things here and there. You've got companies. You've got agents. You've got Hollywood involved. How do you not get some Hollywood screenwriter to say, hey, why don't you hook me up and give me something good to say and see how I can handle this?
He can afford a PR team.
Right, how are you the industry?
Got the Space Jam 2 crew working for him.
Right.
Yeah, well,
do
somebody
something.
Could write
Hopefully
him something. Hopefully that movie still gets released in China. It may not. Mm-hmm. And that's also on the list of why he's mad.
He just freelances and thought he's, you know.
I don't know what he thought.
Well, I think what he thought was that his fans are going to take whatever he says. And
I would just be like, are you pro freedom? Are you pro democracy?
Simple.
Are you?
Yeah.
And if yes, so what's your beef with Daryl Morey? What's your problem with him?
Right.
Now again, if Daryl Morey knew before he hit send that was going to cost the league potentially 100,
he wouldn't have sent it.
He wouldn't have done it. He didn't. But that also just goes to show you what's going on over there. Like, that's the other thing I would tell LeBron. But like, if a general manager's tweet can potentially end the relationship with the NBA and a country, the largest country in the world, what does that tell you about what's going on over there?
Well, somebody apparently among the assembled media tried to throw LeBron a lifeline and suggested that
no
perhaps LeBron was taken out of context.
Yeah, I do. I do, and that's why I wanted to kind of clarify what what my thoughts was and what my words were. So that changed to happen with me. I understand that, and I know that every word that I say is going to be broken down on however you feel. Or you see, I said it, so it comes with the territory, and that's okay with me.
tends to happen with him. That he's so he
one of his last tweets was from 3 days ago, where he said, "My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others, and I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it." That's not what your issue is. Your issue is not that you were in China when this happened. Your issue is the league and you specifically might lose millions of dollars because of this deal. That's what you're upset about.
Not even a question.
And to say, I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. What Daryl Morey tweeted, I would say 99.9% of Americans fully agree with. Should be 100, but you never know. It should be fully on board. Everybody's on board with that. And for you to say, well, you got to know what a tweet can do. It's like you're trying to censor people now.
Do what? Yeah. Expand freedom in the world?
Right.
Oh, why would you want to do that? You're a bad person. I mean, come on.
It's really bad.
If you're wondering how LeBron sees himself in the world, the view that LeBron has of himself in the world.
There might not be room for his head.
Well, we've got a scene from NBA 2K that probably is pretty close.
When I first came into the league, I was just trying to prove myself. It was all about ball. It took me a while to understand the responsibility, the opportunity that I was given. You know, I speak for those without a voice, people who grew up like I did, poor, without hope. Those people, those kids, they exist on every corner of the globe, and they're all deserving of a chance. I believe no one person is capable of turning the tide. But we all have an obligation, because somewhere along the way, somebody picked us up, and that's why we pay it forward. Do you think you're ready for all of that?
You might want to edit out the every corner of the earth thing, because you obviously don't care about every corner of the earth.
Right.
Why even say that? Well, it's not true.
Okay, then just pay it forward to, I don't know, the Pacific Ocean. Don't go past the
beach. God, no, don't go too far over there.
No, don't.
Maybe not even Hawaii. I don't know about Hawaii. Yeah, it's too close.
Okay.
You're too far. You're too far from Akron.
Yeah,
they
exist
on every corner of the globe.
Akron. Oh, my God.
I will
say
this.
That's embarrassing.
He, for the most part, Rich is not going to like this.
No, I disagree already.
For the most part, he's been a pretty good citizen in this league. You know, he's done charitable things. He has kept his nose clean. He has not, you know, been embroiled in any, you know, front page incidents or anything like that.
It's a low bar, though, to say, or he hasn't been arrested, I mean, basically, so he's a good guy.
I mean,
he's a fraud.
No,
he may be a fraud, but he has been a good citizen in the NBA.
He's not a criminal. I'll give him that.
That's one hell of a way to put it.
He's not.
All right, so you're putting it that way. Yeah. How about say he hasn't seen some of the issues that we've seen from other professional athletes. How's that sound?
Sure. Again, fine. You want to compare him to Michael Vick and Aaron Hernandez? Fine. He is not those
guys. No, that's
guys.
What you're trying to do. Yeah. All right? I'm just saying.
But once in a while, we also
don't really know any of these guys.
But
I'm
you've
not
been
gonna
exposed.
Try to pretend.
You've
it's
been
what he's tried to put out there.
But
agreed.
Once in a while, he
exposed
steps
as a fraud.
In it. He steps in it. The whole not one, not two, not three.
He did the decision special. Still happened. That was amazing.
He did the decision. You know, this, he stepped in it. He does occasionally. And probably because he might have an outsized...
Not full.
Yeah. He might have an outsized opinion of just how much he knows about the world.
He definitely does. He definitely does. And, you know, when he's talking about matters here, you know, he gets the Twitter applause, like Steve said. He gets a lot of people saying, like, look at this guy. Think about it. He has that show, right, where he's in the barbershop and he's chopping it up, talking about all kinds of issues, real-life issues. I don't know if they're talking about communism on that show and all the benefits
probably
therein.
Probably not.
You know what's going on?
You know,
he should.
As we talk about it, it makes me believe that maybe his local, or I'm sorry, national activism is marketing also.
100% it is.
It has to be.
It definitely has to be.
Yeah, because if you care about human rights over here, but you don't care about them over there.
Right.
There's only one conclusion you can come to.
I forget who told him to shut up and dribble, but that was stupid. That was a stupid thing to say.
Dumb.
Right.
And he made a lot of positive
attention.
Somebody
on Fox. It was Laura Ingraham.
Okay. So she says, and which she was dumb to say. But
shut up and dribble.
And then he goes out there and he's like, I'm not going to shut up and dribble. I
think we will definitely not shut up and dribble.
And he had like a special about it and whatever else. And that was great, right? That was all kind of positive publicity. Like, even I, who can't stand LeBron, thought if it was LeBron versus Laura Ingraham, well, guess what? Point LeBron. But then he sort of takes that, and I think he liked that. But that has its limits. because that stuff was helping to put money in his pocket.
Agreed.
This part of it might lose money, so I don't know anything about it, guys. Sorry, I'm going to step away from it.
So that makes
speak for those without a voice.
Yeah, well.
So that makes you believe that whatever comes out of his mouth, it's about marketing.
Yeah.
100%. So why would we take when he wants to address serious, for the most part, real issues in this country? Now you can't take him seriously.
Right.
Same, and I'll tell you what. Same with a lot of guys. Same with Popovich. Same with Kerr. Same with any other number of guys that have been there. You've been exposed as a guy who will make decisions based on money. And I'm not condemning you for that.
I was going to say, don't a lot of people make decisions based on money?
I think it helps when you're kind of honest about it.
Right. I'm not condemning. Yeah. It's
easier to swallow if you're like just flat out, I am here to make money.
Agreed. If he had, the perfect Michael Jordan answer. When talked about politics.
Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah, exactly.
Great line.
That's the perfect answer.
Great line.
I'm here to play basketball, make money, and sell shoes.
Because why else did LeBron go to L.A.? It was all about the brand. It was all about, I got to go to L.A.
It's where his kids wanted to go to school.
It's where he put his kids into school.
Yeah, right, he did. Right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his kids could go to the nicest schools anywhere they want. And so he wanted to go to L.A. And again, free agent, so I don't even fault him for that. But it's just very obvious as to why. You know, it had nothing to do with the team. They didn't have Anthony Davis yet. In fact, he went through a bad season where he kind of just sat out the year because it wasn't going very well. So he just said, I'm done with this. We'll wait until we get a good player here. But he's more concerned about the TV show, more concerned about the movies that he's going to be making, more concerned about the, you know, LeBron James, the brand, than he is about anything else at this point.
And more power to you. No problem. I want you to make your money. Go ahead. But don't lecture me on human rights.
I feel like
anymore.
If you were in China, you wouldn't be able to make quite as much money.
Well,
tells me it might get spread around a little bit.
Right. But now you've lost any credibility on any issues whatsoever because we know that you'll sell out for the cash.
Most people would. And
I'm okay with that. Right. I've done stupid things for money.
But
too,
don't get up on
times.
Your high horse and look at Daryl Morey and be like, "Well, Daryl, you got to know what a tweet's going
to
do." Like,
LeBron correctly responded to Laura Ingram when he said, "I'm not going to just shut up and dribble."
Yeah,
he absolutely did.
Good for him.
Then he told Daryl Morey to shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
That's in effect what he told Daryl Morey.
You're right.
Right.
And it makes, again, to not see and not have a better answer prepared. You've got a staff of PR guys. I'm sure you do.
Of course he does.
You know, and you come up with that.
Yeah.
And then you have to clarify that. Then you have to clarify the clarification.
The clarifications have been bad.
Terrible. Terrible.
They don't make any sense.
You know why? I'll tell you why. There's no defending it. Without saying, hey, I'm here for the money, there's no way to defend it.
Yeah.
And you know what? You'd get more support than you're getting now if you said that. Oh, okay, I get it. Well, then that also precludes him from commenting about human rights over here, too.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Frank's in Providence. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Thanks.
Steve, always good to hear your perspective. It's great.
Thank you, my friend.
You guys are talking about, you know, LeBron and out in L.A. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, when the season really starts, if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has anything to say about this with the Muslims and concentration camps out there. I mean, I know he's a class guy. He doesn't really, you know, say much, but I'm sure he's going to have some kind of, you know, issue with that.
I wouldn't doubt that LeBron lost some fans out there. Now, as time goes on,
whether they were
people
like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Magic Johnson or Jerry West, I don't know.
I'm sure a lot of people are not supporting LeBron like the way that they did before.
L.A.
You hear the stuff that he said.
L.A. in general, a lot of fans will sell their soul to be part of the Lakers thing, I guess.
Yeah, they're
going to
be good again.
But
so that helps.
But when you talk about a predominantly progressive state like California is, they're all about human rights.
Yeah.
They talk about it all the time out there. They pass legislation to make sure that human rights are where they want to
and
be.
And obviously
want
a huge, you know, melting pot of people from all over the world living in Los Angeles, and they know what their countries, not China or otherwise, what they were up against. I mean, look what Enes Kanter is dealing with and is talking about all
here,
the time.
On the streets of Boston.
Exactly. And so the stuff that he and his family have gone through, they're not going to look at what LeBron James said and take it lightly.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? China is the ultimate invisible country. It's just like Laura Ingram.
We're having trouble.
Well, what's amazing? No, I know what you're going to say, though, Mike. We couldn't hear you, but it is. I mean, as Dale said, LeBron kind of said that to Daryl Morey, but in effect, China told James Harden, LeBron James, and everybody else to shut
they
up and dribble.
Adam
and they
Silver.
Said, sure.
They
sure.
told everybody in the NBA.
And here's the reality. If Laura Ingram was also paying those guys $100-plus million, then they would do it too. They would
have
listened to her and said,
to.
Sure.
You
That's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, whether I mean, whether you're,
like, oh, okay.
whether you're selling your soul for $5 or $5 million, it doesn't matter. You're still selling your soul.
Yeah.
We're talking about a league. I mentioned this the other day. We're talking about a league that doesn't want to use the word owner.
Yeah.
About the guys who own the teams. Like, nobody around here thinks it's a bad thing to say Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots. He is.
I always call him the governor.
Yeah. Whatever.
But I do it with an English accent. Hey, governor.
Governor. Yeah, I like that. That is nice. Yeah.
And so in a league that wants to eliminate the use of the term owner because of negative connotations, it's amazing to me. And Adam Silver's kind of tying himself in knots here about, well, he should have the right to say whatever he wants, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, the luxury that Silver has is that he doesn't have to ban these guys from saying anything. They get it. They know that the money's involved. It's not like you have to sit there and put out a memo to every player in the NBA, or maybe you might because there's some that aren't making that kind of money. But for the most part, the ones that are talkative or active about this stuff, you don't have to say cut it out. You just have to explain to them or remind them, not explain to them, remind them about the money.
Do you think that Adam Silver and the NBA should try to continue a business relationship with China?
That's not an easy question either.
No, it's not.
It's not.
And I think that's what they're dealing with too. But I think Silver has said he does.
Gigantic amounts of money.
Oh, I know.
Tremendous amounts.
I know.
Tremendous amounts. But how do you...
But like at what point, like would you just take money from anybody? And maybe your answer is yes. Or well, is there a line somewhere?
Is there? Well, but here's the problem.
Like if Kim Jong-un wanted to pay you a ton of money to go play games in North Korea, would you do it?
But they've already, again, you've decided that you'll be part of that. What's to stop you from doing the next one? You've decided, and you knew very well. Don't lie and say you didn't know what China was about before you got involved in business with them. Don't, and not just the NBA. There's a ton of countries, but it's unrealistic to expect major companies to absolve themselves of a relationship with China. It's not going to happen. Too much money involved.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got what else you got coming up at about 150, somewhere in there. OMF at the top of the hour. Christian's already in the building. Wait till Big O gets in here.
Oh, he's going to love it.
Gets a feel of this studio. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. We'll get to all of that and back to your calls as well after Trent.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now. Couple of quick football notes here. Practice today for the Patriots after they had a day off yesterday. Three players missing from practice, the media portion of practice. Matt LaCosse, Josh Gordon, Michael Bennett.
So Michael Bennett, the team suspension seems to be legit. Mm-hmm. And again, he's the only one that said it. Belichick wouldn't comment on it today, but it looks like no Michael Bennett. Josh Gordon, I don't love his chances for Monday night. Especially the way... He went down. Didn't you think he was out for the year?
That was out long longer than...
That knee did not look good.
That's horrible. And then same with Matt LaCosse. And Matt LaCosse is hurt all the time. And then they bring in two tight ends. So they still have Ryan Izzo. And now you have Eric Tomlinson and Ben Watson. I wonder if LaCosse's days in New England are just numbered. Or there's an IR situation going on
there.
If
you find that both Watson and Tomlinson are healthy, then what are you going to do?
Yeah. But we could get a chance to see more Jacoby Myers on... Monday night, if Josh Gordon can't go. I mean, that's sort of why he played as much as he did last week.
True.
And so maybe he'll get more of a role.
N'Keal Harry is back out on the practice field again today for the second consecutive practice. They were off yesterday, but he is out there. I think you'll see him play in week 9. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, wrote a piece just a few minutes ago. The headline is, Antonio Brown still hasn't been interviewed by the NFL. Florio says, Antonio Brown's de facto unpaid suspension continues. Except he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
I mean, I disagree with Florio's contention here. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's going to get
$9 million.
I know the grievances are like $40 to $60 mm-hmm. million, but he'll get he should get 10 and maybe a little bit more. Maybe there's a game check in there that he's entitled to.
You always ask for more, figure you'll negotiate.
100%. Yep. So he will get paid at some point, but the question is, for me, will he play for anybody the rest of this year?
Well, and yesterday, Roger Goodell was asked to provide an update as to the status of the investigation. He said, quote, "We're still working with that, and I will probably be getting an update when I get back to New York. Our folks have been working diligently on that and going through materials. There's a lot of material to go through to reach a conclusion." Now, Florio says, this is Florio now, per a league source, the interview with Antonio Brown could happen soon.
Hmm. There you go. That would help. That would help his process, right?
Or kill it.
But right. Help as far as at least getting an answer. Yeah, right. it might be the answer you don't want, but at least it's not nothing, and you're just sitting there waiting around, and then Antonio Brown can sort of maybe determine, all right, is there a chance I can come back next year? Like, is the suspension what, indefinite, or is it 12 games? Is it 8 games? Is it, hey, you're not playing the season? Maybe by the time they come up with it, it's halfway through the year, and you're like, hey, it's an 8-game suspension, whatever it might be, and can I play next year? Or you finally get the answer you want if you're Antonio Brown. Say, hey, go ahead and sign him. He's not going on the exempt list, at least for anything that he's already done. There's always a chance something else happens with him. But for right now, you let teams know that, you know, he's able to be signed.
Florio writes here, and I'm quoting Florio, "The league has no legal obligation to disclose whether a player would be placed on paid leave if signed before an investigation concludes. As a matter of basic fairness for all current and future players, however, it's fair to do it. And it's unfair to not do it." Florio's. Florio used to be a lawyer.
True.
Right. It's definitely not fair, but then does the league care about that?
They don't care. You saw what they did to the Patriots. Tom Brady had no semblance of fairness whatsoever. So they have a
great point. Yeah.
They have a track record of not being fair. Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott was not fair at all.
Absolutely right. So they don't care about fair. They care about the optics and the public opinion is what they care about. What if Antonio Brown's interview with the NFL goes like that deposition he had? I mean, is it?
Well, then he's not playing.
It would kill him.
It would kill him.
I mean, it's not him. His career.
Right. He'd be alive.
Yeah, he'd still.
We assume.
Right. Now, Florio says it's important to take the time needed to make a fair and proper decision. But he says, per a league source, the interview with Antonio Brown could happen soon. I have serious doubts about his ability to handle that interview well. Again, going back to the deposition in Florida that he completely took with no seriousness at all.
He needs his best, most logical lawyer, and I'm not talking about his agent, sitting next to him ready to kick him in the shin every time he goes off on some tangent.
I would sedate him. I'm not even kidding. I would give him some sort of like tranquilizer to have him go in there so he's just kind of like maybe like a NyQuil.
Yeah,
have him take a little
But sniff. What if that makes him feel more free to say what he wants to say?
I don't know what you do. But right. I wonder, and this isn't the right way to look at things, but something tells me he's going to take the NFL meeting more seriously than he's going to take that deposition.
You'd like to think so.
Now, it doesn't
you?
Necessarily mean How more about? Seriously compared to that is still maybe a clown show, but I just think he's going to say if he really wants to play football, and we saw him with the Patriots, the one time the media was able to talk to him, he sounded like a Patriot.
Yeah.
Right? So that was he was able to keep it together. It was like 3 minutes, but he was able to keep it together there. As far as we know, in the locker room, he was fine with the Patriots. They all loved him. All the players loved him. He was great on the practice field. So he is capable of keeping it together for a short amount of time. And so when he goes and sits with the league, can he do it? I don't know. Is he allowed to have his lawyer and Rosenhaus in there? That could help.
It's been 15 days since the league said that they had not yet interviewed Antonio Brown. And they still haven't interviewed Antonio Brown. If Florio's correct, it's going to happen soon.
Then
the question is, does it hurt or help? We don't know what the investigation has produced. We don't know the materials that they're looking at.
Real quiet.
I mean, Goodell made it sound like there's this mountain of stuff they had to wade through, and I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there is.
If that's true or not.
So now you have CSI NFL, and they are really good at that, aren't they?
Is
Ted Wells involved in this?
No, but I'd watch that show.
You would?
Yeah.
It's on NFL Network at midnight.
Just for the clown aspect of it.
Oh, it would be. It'd be great to see them, you know, get to the bottom of all these things, these league matters that they do such a good job handling.
Absurd.
But at least, I mean, maybe we are getting closer to some sort of determination, one way or the other, right? And then you can kind of end it at least. You can end some of the speculation.
How about the Oakland Raiders? Think about their year. They've had Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. threatened to punch out the general manager and shoot his way out of town.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Vontaze Burfict get suspended for the rest of the year and then have that suspension upheld.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Trent Brown, a civil lawsuit filed, charges that he physically abused his girlfriend slash mother of his child. It's been a year for the Oakland
and guess
Raiders.
Guess what? If the season ended today, they're in the playoffs.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
How crazy is that? Right? I mean, that I certainly didn't see that. Even if all those guys, even if Brown was still on the team.
Right.
And even if Vontaze Burfict was still playing, I wouldn't have expected them to be a playoff team. But as of this very second, they are the second wild card
didn't
team.
Didn't you expect Khalil Mack to just go off on them?
Yes.
And the way he was.
Yes, I did. No,
he wasn't yapping before the game, but he was.
I thought he was going to have a pretty good
I did too.
Game. Yeah.
I did too.
No, they're sitting there. They're kind of one of the surprise. Them and the Bills are two of the surprises of the league.
Carr is a slightly better Mariota. All right.
Oh, come on. He's a lot better than Mariota.
All right. But he's not. Okay.
No,
how about
he's not
this?
Very good.
How about this? He's not.
He hasn't been benched yet like Mariota
right.
has.
He has a job.
He's not what we thought he was.
No, he had that one great year, and he really hasn't been the same
since
he got hurt.
Didn't you get the feeling that's sort of what Antonio Brown thought, too?
Yeah.
Like, he gets there, and he's working out, and he's going, ooh.
He sniffed that out. He's like, oh, wait a minute. You're even worse than Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger stinks.
Yep.
Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, it's... but
a likable human being. I mean,
Derek Carr seems like a good guy.
When we were watching the HBO series,
yeah,
he seemed like a nice guy, likable guy.
I don't
care. I don't need my quarterback
can play.
Can you play?
I don't need him to be a nice guy.
But again, it's outside of. You gotta assume that in the West it's going to be a foregone conclusion. But you just don't know when it comes to some of these things. Who knew that? The Kansas City was going to have two losses at this point.
Right, two home losses.
Home losses.
At this point.
Right.
Yeah, that is definitely a surprise.
So it's not like, there's outside.
Yeah, I don't think Oakland gets in, but just right now, they're 3-2 because they have their bye week, and they are currently the number six seed in the AFC.
Outside of the Patriots being 6-0, I don't think there's anything else. Maybe New Orleans, but we didn't expect that with Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe New Orleans being 5-1, I think they are. I don't think anybody expected San Fran to be 5-0 at this point.
No, that's true. That's not a
surprise team. But there's a lot. I mean, and you didn't expect Kansas City to be there sitting at 4-2 either.
Right.
So outside of the Patriots being 6-0, which is you could have just simply looked at this schedule and you would take nothing to figure that out. But there's still some surprises going on in the league.
Oh yeah,
we used the stat yesterday. If San Francisco wins this weekend, and by the way, they play the Redskins, so
love their chances.
Chances are real
I love
good.
Them.
They go to 6-0.
Yep.
The last time teams went 6-0 in both the AFC and the NFC, the last four times that's happened, those two teams have met in the Super Bowl.
Nice.
How about that?
Which would be the story to end all stories.
It really would be
if it was Brady against Garoppolo in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you have to look at the teams that both they've played. Okay, now the Patriots obviously a very easy schedule, but the Patriots also have a history.
The Niners' schedule is pretty easy too. We looked at it
very,
yesterday.
Very easy, but the Patriots have a long history of being competitive against good teams, bad teams, the best teams, anyone. It doesn't matter. San Fran doesn't have that. So I would give a 6-0 nod to the Patriots in that situation. I can't imagine San Fran going 14-2 or 13-3.
No, but they could easily go 8 or 9-0, and then from
that
there.
That would be so much fun.
Then they got Seattle a couple times still.
Yep.
They got New Orleans. I think they have Baltimore, and they have Green Bay, I believe. So we'll find out. We'll know how good they are by the end of the year. It's not like they go through a whole cupcake. It's just. The Patriots and them have both opened up kind of similar. In fact, the better win is probably the Rams. San Francisco just beat the Rams. Patriots did beat the Bills, and the Bills are 4-1.
Bills are better than we thought.
Yeah, but the Rams are scrambling around right now. They're selling the franchise to
they don't want any picks. They don't want any first-round picks.
No.
Their last first-round pick was their quarterback, Jared Goff, 2016. They will now not have a first-round pick until 2022.
Unless
they trade for one, they're going to go 5 years without a first-round pick.
Yeah. It's a different philosophy. You've got a proven player in Ramsey, so.
But if Ramsey doesn't re-sign with them, doesn't that look even worse?
It does, but they're going to find a way to re-sign him.
He has to, doesn't
they're gonna
he?
Find a way.
Well, they can franchise him, I guess.
And they gave up two first-round picks. They gotta keep him.
Not even a question.
Yeah,
they don't mind throwing out money, too.
They toss it all around.
Yeah, I think they probably have one of the more lopsided salary cap scenarios in terms of the
top end players.
Have-nots.
Yeah.
They must.
Do you think he makes a big enough difference,
Ramsey?
Yes.
To win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
No, they shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl last year. You know, I think he's good, but I don't think he's great. He's not the best corner like some people have tried
to say.
Well,
they got rid of Peters. They sent Peters to Baltimore. Yep. And Ramsey's, without question, better than Peters. But Peters isn't horrible. So you've, like, upgraded that position, but not even
– A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so gave up two first-round picks to do it.
Yeah, seems really weird.
I mean, the other thing is that I guess they're assuming that those picks are going to be – anywhere from 26 to 32.
Yeah.
So they're maybe they'd
that's
devalue them that
on.
Way.
Right, you know? Now it wouldn't be.
No.
Right now you got a bunch of teams ahead of you, but you're right. Over time, that's what they're hoping.
Listen, what happens if they go 9-7 and finish?
Jaguars are sitting there in the teens making their picks. And,
what if they have? What if they've given up two straight 15, 16, 17 picks right there? Yeah. The number 15, 16, or 17. That's a big price.
Oh, huge price.
Yeah. If you've given up the number 32, 31, even 30. Okay, you can make up for it if you do your scouting right and get a good second round pick. But the fact is, you're giving up what could be. If this season turns out anything less than they predicted, Jacksonville's got an even better deal than they thought. Mm-hmm.
By the way, your thoughts and prayers were successful. Thank you to all of you, because I know there were a lot of thoughts and prayers out there directed at Jalen Ramsey and that debilitating back injury that he had.
Is he okay now?
Well, apparently, it's a miracle. Because apparently he's going to be able to play this weekend.
Didn't think he was going to be able to pass his physical.
Well, you know what it is? It's the weather in California is a little bit better.
Than Jacksonville?
Never mind.
No, I don't know.
Never mind. It's a little warmer. Never mind. They play on I don't know that either. I don't know.
I'm glad he's okay, though.
Thank God.
T's and P's.
What else you got coming up next? Dale and Keefe with Diassi, Sports Radio, WEEI. All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Steve?
I'm reading this crazy story. Former Buffalo Bills lineman Justin Bannon arrested for attempted murder. I guess he shot a woman in Boulder, Colorado that he worked with. The police say it was a random shooting. He faced a number of charges. But when he was picked up by the police, Bannon said in Boulder, Colorado, that he didn't mean to shoot the woman. Oops, sorry.
Oh.
But that he was hiding. But he was hiding from the Russian mafia.
In Boulder.
They got their hooks in the Boulder.
Yeah.
Don't
they ever. Why wouldn't you? And he was carrying
carrying
two loaded handguns and a $20 bill that was coated in a white substance later to found to be positive for cocaine.
No,
it was cocaine.
He played 11 years in the NFL and now
never
he's,
heard of him.
Now he's hiding in corners from the Russian mafia doing blow.
He uses a 20 though. He must be doing all right.
Aren't you supposed to use
a hundo?
Yeah,
come on.
I use a dollar.
Maybe back in the 80s and early 90s when guys were doing that, those guys, I heard from what I knew.
What else you got?
Rich?
Drowned out there at the end, Steve. You know the former number one pick in the draft, 2017's NFL draft, Myles Garrett, plays for the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday he tweeted this out, a quote, fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with me and then punched me in my face.
How much alcohol would you have to have in you before you punch Myles Garrett in the face?
There's no amount. There's no amount.
All the tequila in the world.
I've had all the tequila in the world. I didn't punch anybody bigger than me.
Did he piss you off?
He said, and then he adds, put your legs into it. Maybe you have actually made me flinch. So Garrett seems to be fine. He didn't get like a concussion or anything.
Took a punch.
But how insane is that? So Garrett, what happened was, because a lot of people are wondering, hey, did you grab him? Did you kill him? What did you do? Garrett was actually in his car, so he put the window down.
This guy came up like he wanted an autograph.
Recognized there. He's like, hey, can I get a picture is what he wanted. He's like, hey, can I get a picture? So he put his window down. I guess he took the picture, punched him in the face, and then took off.
Well, he got the picture first, though.
Yeah, I'd like to see that picture.
Did he lose a bet or something?
You must have lost the biggest bet of all time.
The dumbest bet.
Did he have
I see Myles Garrett, I will punch him in the face. Right. Yeah, I bet you.
Did he have a rolled-up 20 with a powdered substance in his pocket at the time?
Still not a good enough excuse.
Probably not.
What else you got?
So teams all around the National Hockey League like to come up with interesting little features that they show to the crowd on the big screen during the game. My favorite at the TD Garden every night is the eight-spoked salute, where they salute a member of the armed services, and they never even get through any of the copy that they have about the soldier or sailor or whatever, because everybody's standing and applauding. So in Washington, they have the Might of the Night. So they got the little kids who are out skating. They got the little kids who are skating between periods, and then they interview one of the kids on the bench and show it to everybody. They interview the might of the night. Well, last night it was a little guy by the name of Jackson Friedlander, who I'm fairly certain is a graduate of Tim Tebow University.
Make some noise for Jackson here. Jackson, you were on fire out there tonight. How did it feel to play on that big ice?
All I wanted is to have some speed and have fun. Hockey, always remember, hockey's not about winning. It's always about fun.
I love it, you guys. He's like a little motivational speaker down here. You might have some coaching in your future, I think. Now I gotta know, who's your favorite Caps player?
It's Ovechkin, and always I have a tarantula named Michael. He's a curly hair. He just had 2 crickets on Monday, 1 on Sunday. He has a big appetite.
Awesome. I love it. I think
he has a tarantula.
Yeah, I just fed him crickets on Monday.
18 crickets. That's awesome.
He just wants to share that.
Oh, my God. I love that. That is fantastic.
You
got to
feed him crickets, right?
Good for him.
You got to feed him something.
Yeah, they eat crickets.
Well, I'm concerned if he, like, just throws them in and then walks away, or if he sits there watching.
Oh, he sits and watches.
Oh, he watches.
Takes videos on his cell phone.
Now I'm a little more concerned for the kid, right?
Well, you think he's a sicko?
I did the same thing.
Is that what you're saying?
I would do the same thing. I had a snake. It was different.
You had a pet snake?
No, Steve? No. It wasn't a pet. It was a snake that I had in our, down by the field in the...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I would throw it a dead rat every once in a while.
Yeah, hold on.
What?
Back up for a minute here.
That's what you do for entertainment living in the inner city.
So there was a snake.
There was a snake down by the...
That lived near
it was
you.
An old beat
so
up factory.
So it wasn't
factory.
Your snake. He was an individual snake. No, was a free snake.
It was a free agent snake.
Yeah, it was a free snake.
Yeah.
And he was always... That's where he lived.
You knew that he was there. You could throw a dead... If you found... Once in a while, you find...
A lot of it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Once in a while, you'd find a dead rat somewhere.
You would kill a rat. Go ahead and just say what happens. You would find a dead rat. You would kill a rat. You would hunt rats.
Right?
Steve raised rats, would kill these rats.
They raised them.
And then would go down.
My sister did.
That wasn't my job. My job was to feed the snake.
That's right.
So this snake would just leave it, and then he recognize you. He's like, here comes Steve with the rats.
No. You'd have to sit there sometimes for like an hour to wait for him to come out and eat.
Oh, my God.
Half the time he wouldn't eat.
He also doesn't want to, in front of you. He likes to do that in private, maybe.
Yeah.
The other thing would be, how long has this rat been dead?
How do you spend your time? Oh, I don't know. I kill rats, and I go down to like the
area. I don't kill rats. Why are you saying that?
Well, you're feeding them to a snake.
Dead ones. They're already dead.
You're keeping the snake alive.
It was either that or the crows were going to eat them.
Oh, God.
Which wasn't as nearly as fun.
Did this snake... Which also you would watch. Did you ever bring the snake inside your house?
No, okay. No. I wouldn't go near it. I don't like snakes.
No,
I wouldn't go near it. No.
What do you mean you don't like snakes? You're feeding them rats.
Because I wanted to see the wonder of nature.
It is nature. After all, that thinks it's nature.
The little bulge working its way down the snake's body.
Loving rats and finding a snake to feed them to. That's nature.
No!
There it is.
You're making it up.
His sister's rats.
You're making it up.
His sister going, hey, I had four of these.
Clubbed them. I drowned them. Sorry, excuse me? What?
Did I say that?
That's wrong. I did not. I make that up. I'm a joke. I kid. I'm a kidder.
I know. There's no truth.
I'm a kidder.
I understand.
If you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new Rewind feature. If you still don't have the app, just text APP to 37937. Steve, good to see you again.
You too, guys. Thank you.
See you next week. We will be back tomorrow. Andy Hart will join us. We'll have a whole bunch of Bruins stuff to talk about, for one thing, because they play tonight against Tampa Bay. OMF is coming up next. I'm going to hang around just to see Ordway's reaction when he comes through the door to this studio.
It's hot in here.